At the Yam Suf, most of the praise and poetry, the song and rejoicing surrounded the unfolding military victory over the Egyptians, watching their bodies or the bodies of their former tormentors being tossed mukaven, like stones, like lead. It seems a little bit to us triumphant, maybe enjoying other people's suffering, but the release after 210 years of torment and persecution is palpable. And the commitment and belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayaminu, Bahashem, Uva Moshe Avdo, Vayar Yisrael, Ezeyad HaChazaka, Asher Asar Hashem B'Mitzrayim. But towards the end, their vision turns to the entry to Eretz Yisrael, to the construction of the Mikdash, Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Am Zukanisa, till we'll enter the land of Israel, to the Emor of Asitemor Bahar Nachlascha, you will escort us and embed us in the mountain of our heritage, Machon Leshiftecha, a base or a baseline for your presence, Pa'alta Hashem, Hashem Mikdash Kananu Yodecha, you will take personal interest with both your hands, so to speak, not literally, but metaphorically, to build a base on Mikdash. Now, it's intriguing why at the Yam Suf their vision was expanded, their imagination was stoked. What about the Yam Suf stretched their minds to see realities that were far off geographically, that were chronologically distant? Possibly the magnitude of the miracle. Possibly it reminded them of Maase Bereishis, the rearranging of waters, Yikavu Hamayim, Nikvu Kamodei Nozlim. The waters were being re-landscaped and resurfaced, and this was very evocative of, on the one hand, Bereishis, on the other hand, Yemos HaMashiach, where all the nations will be gathered to Yerushalayim, and their psukim that suggests this analogy, V'nikvu Elav Kol HaGoyim in Yirmiyah. But I want to talk about two aspects of this, what I like to call oceanic vision. Number one, the double terminology, Ad Yavar Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzu Kanisa. This passage suggests two entries. The entry during the days of Yehoshua, which was meant to be a few weeks away, but unfortunately was forestalled 40 years. And then a subsequent entry in the days of Ezra. Ad Yavor Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa. Now, interestingly enough, it doesn't describe a third entry, presumably because, as we are experiencing, the third entry is not a mass ascent taken simultaneously in one fell swoop or in one moment, but is, again, as Yeshaya describes, the attempt to look to echad echad, the selection of individuals, individual communities, individual people, something which is staged, which is slow, which unfolds over the course of time. It isn't the Yavor, the quick entry of Yehoshua, or the Yavor, the quick entry of Ezra. So as we're living through a very different feel of Geula, unlike the two Yavors described in Parshas Bishalach. It's also interesting because of the contrast between those two Yavors. The first entry is the entry of Am Chahashem, your nation, V'lekachti Eschem Li La'am, V'yisim Li Am Sigula, we are his people, he chose us, he loves us. Amcha, Miki Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. The second entry, less impressive. Amzu Kanisa, the people that you acquired. Not your Am, but the people, as we would say, that you're stuck with. You acquired, you bought it, you bought in, no backsees, no returns. And sadly enough, on the one hand, sadly enough, this is reflective of the fact that during the days of Ezra, the entry was underwhelming, was partial, was fragmented, was incomplete. Ezra sends letters to all the Jewish communities scattered throughout the ancient Persian Empire, but as well, Jewish communities that had been scattered westerly to parts of Europe, modern-day Europe, obviously. And only 42,000 people respond to Ezra's call. small fraction of the Jewish population, most remain too comfortably embedded or entrenched in their cultures. And the Gemara in Yoma is quite aware, Darshan Zapasik and Shir HaShirim, that because of this retarded or slowed or inhibited return, the Geula was always handicapped or crippled from the get-go. The second Beis HaMikdash never gained traction, even though it lasted and it outlasted. The first Beis HaMikdash, it was always a very, very incomplete and limited supernatural experience. It didn't contain some of the miracles of the first Beis HaMikdash. It was fraught with political instability, civil war. The Gemara interprets the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Im Chomahi Nivne Le'atiras Kasef, if we would have returned like a wall, the Gemara interprets, person to person, shoulder to shoulder, inclusive and comprehensive, then it would have had metallic-like, decorative, noble opportunities. Im Luach, Im Delasi, Natsur Le'aluach Arez, but we only return, the Gemara interprets, in a door-like fashion, with pockets and holes and gaps, rather than a strong, robust, and firm wall, so the decoration and the plating wasn't metallic as kesef, but it was wood, and wood rotted and decayed, and ultimately was consumed in fire. So at this early stage in history, there is a sense that the first entry will surpass the caliber of the second entry. The first entry will be an entry of a people suffused with faith, animated by passion, belief, commitment, and the second one, halting, partial, unsure. On the other hand, it's not just an elegy or a moaning of lament of the downgraded caliber of that second return, but it also celebrates the fact that Hashem bought us, Amzu Kanisa, and He'll never betray that acquisition. And as defeatist as that second entry would seem, Hashem would not renege or repudiate His acquisition. And in some ways, the term Kanisa is more durable and robust than Amcha Hashem, because at some point, we didn't really behave as Amcha Hashem. We turned our backs on HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the first Beis HaMikdash, in our betrayal of Eretz Yisrael and not returning fully in full capacity in the days of Ezra. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu purchased us. And when you purchase something, you take accountability, responsibility, and ownership. And that outlasts mutual reciprocal commitment of faith, the mutual reciprocal commitment of Kanisa. And then there's another pasuk, another interesting phraseology, less related to the entry into Eretz Yisrael and more related to the response. On the one hand, Tipol Alem Yamasa B'Fachad, the Jews prophesy that when they enter the land of Israel, people will be frightened, people will be apprehensive. They have heard the tale of the overwhelming conquest of Egypt, and their hearts will melt. Namogu Kol Yoshvei Chanan, Tipol Alem Yamasa B'Fachad. But as part of that response, Shamu Amim Yirgazun, they will rail, they will scream, they will protest, they will be angry. When Jews return to their homeland, there's anger, there's opposition, there's resistance, there's boycott, there's divestment, there's sanctions. Jews returning to Israel, Jews returning to Yerushalayim is a momentous event. The world can't take it sitting down, because this is not just a people settling a land, but this is the historical trajectory accelerating, advancing, with all that it connotes. It's a shockwave to the historical system, to the historical process. And consciously or subconsciously, people are aware that it can't be taken sitting down quietly. And the Medrash says, Hashem turns to the nations of the world and says, how dare you be angry that the Jews are returning to Israel to assume their rightful place in history, to reestablish their sovereignty and self-definition? How many kings did you have? How many empires did you enjoy? How many years were you positioned favorably in history? And now, after so much suffering, whether it's in the post-Egypt era, after 210 years of suffering, or in the modern era, how dare you deny my people their right to enjoy all the benefits and experiences that you've luxuriated and indulged in for thousands of years. So Hashem responds to their anger. Shamu amim yirgazun, the Medrash says. Hashem malach yirgazu amim. Hashem will be angry at those who are opposing the Jewish return and respond to their anger with his anger and his reciprocal treatment for their anger and opposition to the Jewish people. This is the Medrash, the Mechilta in Parshas Beshalach. And the Sefri in Devarim says that just as it was then, the anger of Jews returning, so will it be when the Jews finally return. Well, it doesn't take a prophet to realize the relevance and the resonance of these Midrashim to our current challenge, to the anger and opposition we face by our return and through our return to Eretz Yisrael. So we daven and we hope on Parshas Beshalach that even though we're once again facing the prophetic reality of Shamu Amim Yirgazun, we wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to respond to their anger with Hashem Melech Yirgazu Amim.